All right, episode two, podcast two. What did we call this? Get a Grip podcast for the automotive enthusiast.
Yeah, this is post-refrigerator
bowl.
Yeah, it's called Refrigerator Bowl, but it's just post-autocross slash track cross event. It's basically an autocross that happens on a track, and you run segments of the track. And we ran the segments at the Shenandoah Circuit at Summit Point in West Virginia.
So my first one, your second one?
Yeah.
Third time at the track, second track cross, though?
Yeah, second track cross, third time on track.
So, basically, like a larger autocross, same price as an autocross, maybe cheaper if you work.
If you work, so if you go to our local autocross, it's like $45.
If you're a member.
If you go to track cross and you work, it's $50.
So then you get, what would you say? I'd say triple the runs that you get.
Yeah.
And the runs are longer than,
yeah,
I would say, twice the length of a normal autocross run, and you get triple the amount of runs.
And probably like 1.5 times the speed.
Yeah. So, and you're actually shifting, not just leaving it in second or.
Yeah.
So that's what I liked. Anywho, what'd you think? How'd you do?
So I think I did pretty well.
Cold day. What would you say? Like 30 in the morning?
Yeah, that was the one thing I want to talk about later on is like what I learned, but I think I did pretty well. Definitely the morning was more technical. It involved more tighter turns at higher speeds, which is what made it harder. And I was getting a better handle on how the course was set up. I feel like the afternoon was a much faster course,
mm-hmm,
and it had a little bit better flow to it. So I definitely liked the afternoon better. But
so what Dan's talking about is in the morning, what would you say? There's two different heats, right? So you have all your cars 1.8 liters and below. Is it 1.8?
2.5.
2.5 and below run in the morning. Group A, 2.5 and above run heat B.
And boosted cars.
And then break for lunch for about an hour. Skid pad opens up if it's above 40 degrees. And then in the afternoon, they change up the course. They run a different part of the track. And same thing again. Groups B and C go. No. C,
yeah,
and
so,
D.
So
yeah.
I was in group A and group C. Group A would be my morning heat, and group C would be my afternoon heat. You were in B and D.
Yes.
And that's just kind of how I think I did well. There was definitely points where I could have pushed harder and got a little bit more slip angle out of the car. But you know, it's like you always think back to what you could have done better, and definitely I feel like there are opportunities where I should push harder in the corners because I'm not pushing hard enough. And that's where most of my speed comes from in my car, is just carrying the momentum through the corners. But that's also kind of a sketchy thing, especially if you drive to the track and you want to drive back.
Without hitting any walls.
Yeah. And now that you've been to that track, you kind of know how close the walls actually are.
Oh, there's no buffer. There's about 15 feet of grass, and then there's a nice padded wall.
Yeah, you're lucky if you spin out and you stay on the track.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. That, like, it's pretty stressful.
For reference, nobody, I guess there were a couple of spin outs, two spin outs, but only one person ended up going into a wall, and then somebody crashed on the skid pad up the hill. Did you see that?
I did not.
Yeah, it was a 370Z, 350Z doing skids, and he put himself halfway up the hill next to the skid pad.
He ran into a wall on this one.
It was a green Miata.
He ran into the wall?
Yeah. Your last...
Yeah, I thought he was escorted off the track.
No, he ran into the wall. Messed up his front bumper and his fender. Yeah.
Why is it always a Miata that hits something? Last event, a turbo Miata crashed, and then this guy in his green Miata crashed. Now, granted, the turbo Miata guy, his car was a little rough, and this guy, he basically...
He
bought the car a week ago.
Huh.
and he had all seasons on it, and he was going pretty hard, but.
Well, first track cross refrigerator bowl for me. I don't know. I thought it did reasonable. I had nothing to compare it to, so I did fantastic. It was cold in the mornings, and I think I learned how important good tires are. So Kuma Escadas, you let me down in the morning when it was cold. You heat it up in the afternoon. I also learned how good traction control is on the GTL. So it doesn't – I mean, you rode in it. You felt it kick in a couple of times. It's not like it completely turns the motor off. Just stops putting power down, and I ran traction control all day. I honestly didn't mind it. I felt it kick in a couple of times, and – I don't know, but I feel like in the afternoon I put some solid times down.
Yeah. So one thing, so now that we're getting into the sections that what we learned, you mentioned tires, and I have Hankook RS4s on my car, and even with a Miata with such low power, when temperatures are that cold, that the rubber in 200 treadwear tires is really sensitive to temperature changes. So they actually get really hard when the temperature is low. And I could really hoon – the car was really loose. I could really hoon the car around a good bit.
I mean, even all-wheel drive cars were getting sideways.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's a good teaching moment if you want to do, like, a winter track cross or winter autocross, because you really start to learn how your tires perform in all-weather conditions. Not saying you're going to run a lot of 200 treadwear tires in the winter, but you kind of get, an appreciation for how the tires perform. And
whose tires did you see doing well? Like, what? I know that Crown Vic, whatever he was running, I think those were Nittos. New tire. Nittos. I think those were Nittos on there. And was it NTA5s?
Mm-hmm.
He seemed to be doing pretty well. And a lot of people in the stock Bridgestone seemed to be doing well.
The Bridgestone RA71Rs. You know the guy in the GTO? Or not the GTO. What am I talking about?
There was GTR. One other GTO. Yeah. Was those Bridgestones?
Bridgestone RA71Rs.
Expensive?
So they're expensive, but they're also held up as the best autocross tire and best track day tire for grip, but they wear really quickly. So I can only imagine that the RA71Rs hold their performance in the colder weather. And plus, another reason why that guy was so fast was he also has a GTR with all-wheel drive, a little bit helpful in lower traction conditions, and he's also a really good driver too. But tire temperature is one thing that you really have to pay attention to when you're going. Tire temperature and tire pressure. So
how do you – so this is something that I struggled with. How do you set your tire pressure?
Okay, so when I was setting up the Formula car, so this is for a pure race scenario, what we really targeted in the tire was a 3-degree delta from inside, middle, outside. So – say your inside is – this is just some complete ballpark number. But say your inside is 80 degrees Fahrenheit. And then your middle of your tire would want to be 77 degrees Fahrenheit. And then your outside of the tire would be 74 degrees Fahrenheit. So you had a drop in 3 degrees as it goes out. Now, do people – I don't think it's actually beneficial at this kind of an event to measure that, because you're not on the track long enough.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So I think the main thing you want to focus at when you're on an event like that is just tire pressure. So I noticed that I would gain 5 degrees of pressure, 5 PSI.
Once your tires heat up.
Yeah, 5 PSI once my tires got
so
warm.
So you get to the track, you're at whatever. So say say your car calls for 30 pounds of air. You take it to the track, you get there, you run it just on whatever it is, first lap?
Yeah, so I intentionally ran at higher pressure on the track for my first lap to warm the tires up so I could induce a little bit more slip.
So now you're at 35. So now you would what, go down, just say 2 or 3 PSI each time and just see what you like?
Mm-hmm. What I usually like to do, I like to run for all-out grip with the tires I have, 26 to like 28 PSI. I don't like to go lower because I don't want to run the risk of rolling over on the sidewall too far and having a
which
tire.
Which is what I had on the front.
Yeah, I don't want to run that risk. So I'll usually drop it down to around 27 PSI. Now, the thing that I was playing around with when I was there was what kind of tire pressures I want to run all around. So the Shenandoah circuit, you really need to have a lot of front grip to be fast. And you kind of want not a significant amount of slip, but a decent amount of slip in the rear. So I actually ran down to 27 PSI in the front, and I was at like 29, 30 PSI in the rear for a few of my runs. Now, when the temperature got up on the last few runs, like of the day, in the afternoon when the ambient temperature got higher and the track was warm from the sun, I actually went 27 square all around, which it was much better for all-out grip and also a lot better for that afternoon course because it was higher speed and I feel like it was the right thing to do at that time.
So price, we just looked up price on a RE71R and a 275-35-18. Sorry, bringing it back to my world. $262 a piece, so you're looking at $1,000 for four of them, which I feel like isn't that bad for a performance tire.
Yeah, it's not that bad. And that's why a lot of people run them, but when you're selecting tires, and this might be something we get into in a tech point later on, at least when I select tires.
I got the episode name. It's all about the rubbers.
It's a good one. When I'm selecting tires, I kind of look for like what I'm going to be using the tire to do. So I'm not driving. If I'm going to be driving the snow, I obviously want snow tires. If I'm going to be driving the car all seasons, hence all seasons and summer performance. But with the 200 treadwear tires, when I selected my tire, the Hankook RS4s, I lined up the performance of the tire along with the wear of the tire and the rain performance of the tire.
See, I did the same, but I think I'm going to get rid of one of those.
Which one?
The lifespan of the tire, because I feel like if you're actually racing every year, you don't want old rubber.
See,
I mean, I feel like you could race. I could probably run two seasons on mine. You probably could maybe sneak away, depending on how much you race, but I feel like you could probably sneak out two seasons on yours.
It's all about, so the 200 treadwear tire compound, if you went around and talked to other people there, you know the one Porsche that was there?
Mm-hmm.
So his tires were 200 treadwear, and he was on the RE71Rs, and those were 5 years old.
Yeah, so, but it all depends on how much you drive highway, too.
And how you keep the tire, like what temperature and humidity you keep the tire at. Because if you're at an insanely like low humidity, you don't want to get dry rot. But at the same time, you don't want the environment to be soaking wet either for tire storage. So what I do is I take my tires off. I put them down in my basement where I have a dehumidifier right next to them. And I can kind of like set whatever humidity I want to run, which basically...
That's a lot of work. I just leave mine on.
I take mine off. Because I try to preserve the tire. If you're running like a tire relatively hard, like, now, let me rephrase that. If you're running a tire for every season at autocross and a few track days here and there, you're probably going to get two seasons out of them. That's what I'm hoping to get out of mine. But if you're tracking your car, you're going to go through, like, actually tracking.
So say you do, like, 7 track events, like, full, summit point track events.
Yeah, say goodbye to tires.
Yeah.
And brakes pretty quickly, too. But with my, I was concerned a little bit with wear, The main one that I was looking for when I was selecting tires, the one that, like you said, wear was lower on my concern list, but below everything else was noise of the tire. That was actually really low.
Yeah.
I was really interested in the wet performance.
And I think that's something that everybody overlooks.
Is wet.
I don't know. Yeah, because what we did.
The wet performance?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, autocross in the wet sucks if your tires.
Yeah,
don't
we had so many wet autocrosses this year, and I actually encourage a lot of people to do wet autocrosses because then you learn how your car performs in water and hydroplaning low traction conditions. And I'll tell you right now, the Miata, if you're under power, it's understeer all the way because you don't.
Well, I saw you on the skid pad.
See, that's where you have to practice your trail braking and kind of have to apply a little bit of brake to get weight to the front tires and get a little bit of rotation out of the car. That's what I need to work on if I go back to the skid pad.
What do you mean? We're going back in December, Dan.
I don't think they're going to be running the sprinklers on the skid pad.
They said they run shorts and short sleeves last year, so.
Well, let's wait until we get closer to that date.
As long as it's not rain. I think Alex might go. And there's no snow.
Yeah, what if it's snow?
Well, then I'm taking the truck. We're going.
So I was really pleased with the overall weather, like wet condition performance of the RS4s. I think I made the right choice with tire. And if I was to do it all again, maybe if I was making the car more track-oriented and if I was going to drive the car – sorry, if I was going to trailer the car to events, I would probably run RE71Rs.
I think that's my next tire. I think I'm – I don't know. I had the Kumos on my Camaro because they were cheap. Got them on the GTO because they were decent on the Camaro. Once again, a cheap tire. And I'll probably end up changing them if I want to continue going the track just because – I feel like the grip could be better.
You will be happy with the RE71Rs. But
wallet won't.
One thing that I learned with driving with you is that you're not using the full grip of the tires in the corners.
Because I can't. Explain that, Dan. Maybe we'll have a fight.
I don't think we're going to have a fight, but...
I like my track control on so I don't hit no walls.
Okay, that's fine. But, so, one thing that I noticed in the afternoon, I ran a 53.
You ran a 53.
And you ran a
51.4.
So
it was the fastest GTO there. Let's just add that.
So you were the fastest GTO there. I was not the fastest Miata, by the way. I was the second fastest Miata. Because I think that other Miata had some other things done to it. It did not have a stock exhaust.
It had some goods.
It had some goods, in the way of saying it. But... When I was driving with you, you definitely pick up more speed than I do on the straights, but your car could be a lot faster if you pushed it harder in the corners, which that's just coming from a Miata guy who I have to push it in the corners.
No, and I'll agree. I think a lot of it was me being butthurt about it being cold and spinning out, especially after getting on the track and almost hitting a wall, just trying to do a parade lap.
Oh yeah. So let's talk about that. Cause that was funny. So when I went out first in the morning, we drove up this little hill to do our parade lap and I gave it a little bit of gas trying to like accelerate relatively quickly in second and, warm up the tires a little bit. And the Miata just spun tire and just kicked the back end out. And it was a nice little like oversteer situation entering the track. It was cool and fun. But then when I got off, I told you to when you get on the track, don't have your traction control on and just give it a little gas. It'll tell you exactly how much grip you have. And this guy almost you put the entire car sideways.
Oh, that was I slammed. I got close to the grass and I said, "Fuck this!" I said, "Slam on the brakes, press in the clutch." Got done the parade lap, got out of the car, and the guy, what he had a 963,
yeah,
right behind me. He said, "Well, the good thing is you didn't put it into the wall." He goes, "You might want to leave traction control on though." wow, I am very butthurt right now. So that hurt my morale. But yeah, it was cold in the morning, and the tires didn't like that. So
yeah. But that's another thing. Like, I hold back too, because I'm trying to. There's two. You have the guy in that Miata, okay, who didn't know any better. Okay, he just pushed it, just like all out, which that's good, but I don't think that's the way you should start off. I really think you should start easy and work your way up.
It's a dance. It's a. I think a lot of mine is understanding the front grip, what the front can hold, and just counter steering it with the back, like applying and taking away, you know, acceleration and because it's so torquey. If I stay in second and I am halfway around a turn and I'm at say 4 or 5 grand, I give it gas. I'm going sideways.
Yeah, the thing is, you have another variable to deal with when you're driving your car. I don't have to worry as much about braking traction in corners under power. Now I can.
Well, you said you were always floored going around turns, and that's, I'm not even at. I'm maybe quarter to half, if that.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just another thing that Miatas are, I think, a good car, and underpowered cars are good because you start to learn. You can learn certain aspects without having to worry about other things. So you don't have to worry about like. Oversteer during a turn when you're under power. Like if you were to floor it in second gear going around one of those corners, you're going to spin out. You're going to kick the back end out. In the Miata, you will, but it's not going to be as violent. Now I can tell you that when I'm pushing it, I definitely slide around. But that's because I'm carrying so much momentum through the rest of the course. Like one case in point was my last lap of the day. I was trying to beat my 43, and the last turn coming on, like you can see the finish line coming around that corner, and I went in too hot. And if I was probably a year ago in that car, I probably would have spun out.
Mm-hmm.
But I came around the corner, I lost traction, I countersteered about probably, not to lock, but I would say 70 to 60% turn and countersteering. And then I knew it was going to snap back just because it's a short wheelbase car and it's naturally a little snappy with short wheelbase double AM cars. So I let the wheel go, and then it self-steers, and it just put me on the right course, and obviously I was slower because I lost traction and scrubbed a lot of speed, but it just, it was a success in my mind, because I was like, okay, yes, I didn't get a faster time, but I didn't spin out, so that's one thing that I really, that's one thing I'm after. In all of my performance driving, I want to be able to save the car in 99% of the situations that I get into. But to get into those and learn those, you have to push yourself and you have to hit those moments. So it's all about kind of walking your way there.
You ready for my favorite part?
Your favorite part of the event?
Yeah. And
don't say the skid pad.
No, well, I sucked at that. We'll get into that later. I like going to Summit and just looking at the cars. So along those lines, I think we need to do that more often. I think we need to just go up to Summit, even though they're closed. And next spring, we need to go to Summit and just chill out there.
See, people don't understand. Car shows are okay, but car shows suck. The best car show in the world are track days.
I agree. So what was your favorite car there? Give me your top two cars, and they can't be same class. Give me two cars you liked, other than the GTO, because we know that's your favorite.
Yeah. I know them pretty easily, actually. They stand out in my head. The R32 GTR. And the...
Did you like that car?
I did.
He didn't trust it. He was saying we were teching cars. It was in the pits, and he's like, yeah, if this holds together.
Yeah, I appreciate that he chose to bring that out. Even the, now, this was a right-hand drive GTR, and it was nice. It was just clean, and
it was track clean. I wouldn't say it was clean.
Yeah, I'm glad that he brought it out. I'm glad there are people out there who are willing to bring cars like that have some value and still enjoy them on track.
So R32 GTR, second favorite.
That second favorite is actually my first favorite. Though I started second.
Okay, and I'm going to first favorite. Wow, that was your first?
The Lotus.
Really?
Yep.
God, I feel like our Z06, I would say, is probably one. And then... was my second. That Volkswagen was funny.
That guy goes to every event.
So he blew up his, when he had an Audi, he blew up his Audi and he was driving his winter daily. So this guy would shift and the car would do a crazy lunge forward and lunge straight back. The torque steer on that thing, like you could see the wheels just like move under the car.
Yeah, well, that guy shows up to, has been to every event I've gone to. And now this guy, he's in his piece of crap Volkswagen. Like, let's just be honest, it's a piece of crap. But the and he almost, I caught him a few times not wearing a helmet because he doesn't think that he needs it. And I remember one time he comes around the corner and to like stage at the start, and he has his helmet on and he's smoking a cigarette while he's about to start, and I'm just like, man, whatever, just send it, just go, have fun.
So gutted Z06, I think, was my favorite. And I think that ended up putting down one of the faster times. And then second favorite was probably that Porsche 966. I don't know Porsche numbers. That white one with the black wheels. You know which one I was talking about? It was right next to me in the afternoon when we staged.
The 996 Carrera.
Yeah, I think that was my second favorite.
Yeah. That thing was sounding mean. That thing sounded good. I like that thing.
All of the cars there, and I was very surprised, none of them were, like, insanely loud. Like, you go to Autocross, and some of the Autocross, like, the Cam cars, they're, like, the Cam C, Cam T, Cam whatever class it is, they're loud.
Yeah. So, getting into another thing that I don't know if other people see this or if you've seen this, but you probably see this more. When you go... So when you go to Autocross, okay, you see a lot of modified cars, a lot of things done.
Ooh, I got something to add to this when you're done.
Yeah, a lot of things done. But when you go to a track day, the fast guys usually have the fewest modifications.
Like that Mazda, that he literally looked like he drove off the showroom floor.
Yes.
And then went through a corn maze. But he was there, and he probably put down a solid time.
Yeah, so because something has to be said for reliability, it's important. But the fastest drivers are the ones who have the most seat time and know the chassis that they're riding in the most.
Well, I told you about that with the GTO. Like, so we had, there's two, and I was very kind of devastated that there was another GTO there. Two GTOs, 04, 05, mine being the 05. 04, absolutely nothing done to it, automatic. Mine, manual, M6, LS2. I'd say full suspension, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you basically have full suspension.
Just about full suspension.
What are you lacking on that suspension-wise?
Probably like tubular front McPherson strut bars, which I'll probably replace because I think that's the reason why my camera comes out. I think. Okay. I don't know. That's probably it. It may be like better... bearings, wheel bearings. I don't know. Would you consider that? I'd consider that suspension.
You're not going to get a lot of performance benefit out of wheel bearing.
That's probably it. Because every new bushing, new rear sway bar then. I'm lacking a rear sway bar. Everything else is good. But So built GTO and a stock GTO, and the stock GTO being automatic too was not that far behind me. Granted, driver mod, but still, it's like,
yeah. So let me rewind a little bit on that.
He had nothing done to it. It was reliable, yeah, so, and it's a driver mod. It's more experience.
There's the guys that bring stuff that is stock. Okay, they now bringing a stock car. Great idea. Bring a stock car to the track. Enjoy it. It's going to be fun. You're going to learn a lot about your car. You'll have a blast.
I'd say about a quarter of the cars were stock.
But the fast cars at the track are usually, now this is just a usually, cars that have full suspension done, weight savings, safety stuff, and no crazy engine stuff done. So breather mods are usually the best way to go if you want reliability, fun cars that are going to be quick. Now, that's not saying you shouldn't go for more power later on, but I would tell anyone to go for power later on because it takes a lot of time and you learn more about driving, more about your car, and more about your own habits.
I would 100% agree. Because coming home, I started looking up C4 Corvettes and track builds. And guess what every one of them had?
A supercharger.
A stock motor, gutted interior, caged, and bigger tires.
Yeah.
I mean,
I thought you were going the other way with that. Like, everyone's no. Just a snap-flap blower. But yeah.
I mean, I could show up with a V6 Mustang, an automatic V6 Mustang with, what are we looking at? Bridgestone RS 111,000 R's, 71 R's, yeah, and show up to the track with those, and that would be competitive because of the tires. I think tires have an astronomical amount to deal with.
Depends what class you were in.
And that's another thing. So if you were to build, when you built the Miata, did you build it for a class? Granted, this was your baby. You always wanted a Miata.
Not true.
Would you build it? Would you build a car for a class, or would you build a car because you want to? Because I've been reading now, if you buy a car, say I always wanted a Pontiac Fiero, and I built that car, and I tried to race that car, and I wasn't competitive because why? Because I built the car for myself rather than to fit into a class. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Would you do that?
So, if I was going to want to go fast and race a car in a class, I would. It's all about knowing what you want to do up from the get-go.
But I'm saying, would you put aside what you personally want to build a car for a class?
No.
So that you, either would I.
No. I would do what I want to do to the car, and the reason why I would do what I wanted is I want to learn more about aspects of vehicles. Now, I know a good bit about suspension already, but I want to explore things about – I also know a decent amount about engines too. I've rebuilt motocross engines, but I haven't rebuilt car engines or done anything crazy. I kind of want to learn more about that, and I also want to make – It's kind of like my own vision of what I want a car to be at the end of the day.
You're Carroll Shelby is what you are.
Okay. That's another episode we have to talk about. That gets me a little sour about the current Shelby brand.
Well, it's not the Shelby.
It's
a fake.
It absolutely is not. But we'll get about – that's for later. We're not going to get on that now. Now, if you – back to that. So build a car for yourself. Build it to what you want. Enjoy it, and you'll always have that sense of satisfaction knowing that you built it for yourself rather than for, like, trying to be competitive in a class. If you want to be competitive in a class, look at spec race classes and go and buy a race car. Don't build it. Just go and buy it.
100% agree.
Like,
it's so much cheaper.
If I wanted to race spec Miata, I would just go and buy a spec Miata. Like, already set up, already done, cheaper, and you're good to go. But one thing has to be said about if you're actually going to race and try to be competitive in a class, you're going to pay a lot of money if you're going to be on the track. But you're paying for track time. You're not really paying for mods. Unless, of course, if you do the people say autocross racing is the cheap way of the cheap, like, performance driving. Yes, to a point.
I think, and I've heard this from multiple different people, when you set up a car for autocross and a car for
the track,
it's completely different.
Yes, they do not coincide usually. So,
unless you're Mario and you just do the same thing and you make do with what you got.
So the course that we were on, the Shenandoah Circuit, I would say it's probably the best one that I've seen for transferring from autocross to a track. I say that because one thing that the gearing in my car is pretty good for that track, but one thing that I noticed is, at least in the Miata, I wanted a little bit longer gearing.
Yeah, me both.
For the track. I usually ran into the situation where I would have to lift or bang off the rev limiter just continuously in second. Because it's not conducive. I don't have that usable RPM and torque range, RPM range in the car to shift into third and try to go around a corner in third gear at 4,000 RPM. That's just not practical for a Miata. I want to go around the corner in second for most of those turns we were doing at like 6,500 or 6,000 RPM. And then the straights, of course, I got in the third, but I never got any higher than that.
No, and I neither did I. Mm-hmm. But what else? What else you got? Takeaways? We kind of already did that.
What would have made it better?
It being warmer, maybe.
Yeah.
Me having a car that had racing seats would have been nice.
Yeah,
that's actually didn't. I mean, I know the spark is, but I honestly didn't feel like I was moving all over. But did you when you rode in my car? Did you feel like you were like?
No, it's not too bad.
It's not bad. I mean, it could be better.
So, if you were in the Miata, you would have felt like you were flying up against the doors and around.
Oh yeah, because there's no side bolstering.
Yeah, there's no real side bolstering, and the cornering forces are. That's where you get all your speed from, and mm-hmm. a low horsepower car, a momentum car, is you have to pull a lot of G's on the corners. So if you guys were to see my car, you would probably get a good chuckle out of it, because I actually have padding put onto some of the door handles and side panels, center console in the car. So when you're thrown around, you don't bruise your legs or your knees or anything. I've learned that the hard way. But really,
the old pool noodle.
Yep, exactly. But what really made it better for me is just more time.
Yeah, you guys got gypped on the runs in the morning.
Yeah, we did. But that's okay.
That's why I'd be tempted to, like, I got the bug, man. I want to go. I want to get out, and I want to do stuff. Like, that's why I'd be tempted to run it in December. Like, yeah, it's going to be a lot slower, but at least you get all that track time.
Yeah, and it's a good thing to do. I will do the one in December as long as there's not salt on the road.
I agree. I'll do it. And it's not raining.
Yes. I would be tempted to do it in the rain.
I'm not doing it in the rain, Dan. I did it in the cold, and then I did skid pad, and I'm done.
If it was like 70 and raining, I'm fine with that. I'm not too concerned about rain on the track, like losing traction, because that would be another learning opportunity to practice car control on a track as opposed to in a parking lot when it's wet. But yeah, it's all about seat time, really.
That was the guy in the 9. I can't even remember the Porsche name. The blue one behind me. The blue Porsche 963 or whatever, 968.
That was 996.
996.
You were surrounded by 996s.
It's my ugliest. This is the ugliest car.
The 996, really?
He has a built 350Z that he races. He got it like 10 years ago. He built it, and that is his wheel-to-wheel race car. And somebody complained to him about winning all these trophies because he shows up. He won by showing up, right? That's how autocross is anyway, too. And he said, well...
What do you mean by that? He won by showing up.
So people are busy. They don't show up.
Okay.
You know, it's hard to get to every single autocross.
Yeah.
So he won by default. He won by showing up. And he was saying how important it is to build a car reliable enough to show up every week and race.
Yeah.
That's part of it, too. You ready for my random question as we wrap this up?
Sure.
Last week it was, what are you consumed in? What are you buying on Black Friday? Did I ask that last week?
You said that's what you were consumed by was
Black Friday. Well, I have my list, man. It is probably 7 paychecks deep.
So,
what are you buying? Are you waiting for Cyber Monday? Are you waiting for Black Friday? Are you buying anything? What are you doing?
There are two
cars that I'm interested in.
There are two things that I want to buy currently on Black Friday. Three technically. That I'm tempted to buy. But
it's also... Can I guess?
Before you guess, it's also kind of hard because I recently just picked up a new car and I had to pay for new tires on that and other things for that. I've had a lot of additional expenses along with my house expenses and other things that have been coming up. And I'm trying not to...
You're trying to be a responsible adult.
I'm trying to be a responsible adult, but I'm also trying to buy things for my family and make... Think about others as well.
That is nice of you, Dan.
But go ahead and try to guess what my three things are.
Turbo kit. Or at least a turbo.
What's the next one?
Oh, I was right with that one?
No, you weren't.
Oh, fuck. Maybe like an exhaust?
Nope.
Damn, I'm striking out. A short shifter?
Nope.
Oh, fuck.
Okay.
Wait, I'm not done.
You got. I told you three things.
New seats.
Yes.
Oh, for the Miata.
Yes.
Oh, and is one for the S2000?
No, it's all okay, for the Miata. At least that's what I was thinking of.
I don't know. I'm out. Go.
So, new seats. Because I have a seat already, but it doesn't fit in the car perfectly. Anyone who has a Miata understands that the cabin area is really small, and it's hard to fit anything with shoulder bolstering in there. So I'm thinking of going with TrackDog Ultra Shield and maybe the Rally Sport ones.
Which is similar, you said, to Kirky seats, right?
Similar, but better quality. My instructor at my HPDE event I went to, he was running those seats. And those TrackDog seats are the ones they run in Spec Miata too. And they're comfortable, relatively, for a fixed-back seat.
Are you driving to Tail of the Dragon with them?
Yeah, you probably can.
You would?
You probably can.
I would have died in fixed-back seats on that ride. That was horrible.
Yeah, it would be rough, but... Another thing to go along with that is another harness. So I have a 5-point harness, but I want to get another one because when you're running at track days and if you're having an instructor, Summit Point requires you to have equal protection for driver and passenger. So even if I had a 5-point harness for myself in the driver's seat, I could not run with another person if it had the factory seat belts and the factory seat on the other side. Safety has to be the same for passenger and driver. Interesting little fact. At least that's what I've been told by the track officials and everything. And then the other thing I need to get is a wideband O2 sensor maybe this is like paired together, a wide band or two sensor and an AFR gauge. Because I have my aftermarket ECU already, and I just need the AFR and the wide band in order to put the car on a standalone ECU. And then that opens the can of worms for tuning, and it also allows me to delete a lot of things in the Miata that add weight and clutter. So the vane-style airbox for the airflow meter and all the intake piping that's on the front can really go away. And I think it looks a lot nicer, and it also saves weight. I'm all about, if I'm going to be turbocharging it, I want to decrease complexity as much as possible, which is why I'm also thinking about deleting AC, deleting power steering.
No, leave AC.
So, have you ever been in the Miata when I put the AC on?
No. Does it suck?
It's not great. Plus the owner before me, he hit something, and he damaged the heat exchanger on it. So,
all right, maybe delete it. I hated the Camaro because it didn't have AC, and I will never, I don't understand this. Even if I got a race car, my race car would have heat. I don't understand these people that don't have heat.
Yes, absolutely. It is not losing its heat. That is a must. I could be balls sweaty at the track, which usually I am because I'm not running AC when I'm on the track because you have to have your windows open like you heard there. So you're usually sweaty as hell. So I don't really care that much about sweating when I'm in a car on the track. But, yeah, I really want my goal for the car for the end of the winter is to get poly bushings on it, get it, possibly get the control arms powder coated and re-undercoat the body.
Shout out RC Hot Coats in Maryland.
Yeah, I'm going to look into them. Which is why I was going to ask you about them, but now I know the company name.
Yes, Dan, that's RC Hot Coats. Once again, that's RC Hot Coats.
Apparently it's a good company.
Thanks for the sponsorship. Just kidding, he's just a good guy. Can you guess mine? What am I getting on Black Friday / what do I want / what am I not going to get? I'll give you three guesses. You okay. Probably already know all of them.
This is all for the GTO.
I mean, it's a GTO truck. One other hobby. I want a lot of shit, Dan.
I know you do.
Yes. You're not going to get... I'll say one bunch of stuff for the truck. Oh, fuck. All right. One thing is for the truck. A bunch of stuff for the GTO.
Okay. I'm going to try to guess one. I'm going to guess once for the truck.
Okay, go.
Seat covers.
No, I already have those. Shout out Sammy T.
I thought you wanted different ones.
No, those are good. I had shitty ones and Sam got me good ones.
I remember that.
King
okay.
Bypass shocks for the truck. So it actually rides nice.
Okay. You don't even like it after you did the Adelief?
I like it once I did the Adelief, but it maxed out my back shocks too much. I don't know. Some sort of higher math that I don't know, and I know people that run these Kings, and they're good.
Well, because you're changing your spring rate, and you're not doing anything with the damper.
So, that's for the truck. So, you were wrong on the truck. Now, you got two guesses on the GTO.
See, that's a...
Yeah, I'm adamant about it. You should know both of them.
I think you've thrown around the idea of seats.
Okay, that's one. Brom seats. I'm waiting to see what kind of deal they have. They're like $800 for two of them. Trying to see what kind of deals they have.
For two.
Yeah. But there's nice leather, non-fixed back. I'm going with that vibe with the car. It's not like it's going to be my track car.
Yeah, I didn't think you were going to add fixed back seats.
No, I mean, I wanted your Corbeau. Like, I really want your Corbeau, but I don't want it to be a track car. And I know once I put seats in it and, like, have that vibe that it would become one. So, yeah, Brom seats. That's one. Can you guess second?
The second's harder because...
It goes along with seats.
Unless you're talking about harnesses.
No, I'll probably just run the seatbelt.
Steering wheel?
Yeah. Steering wheel. I gotta figure out what steering wheel I want.
Do you wanna...
Definitely not gonna be Alcantara or suede or anything.
No?
I just don't wanna put gloves on when I drive.
Yeah. Do you wanna...
I think I want the D. The
D steering wheel. Do you want
a D ring? I think so.
So, I have some comments on the D steering wheel. If you're thinking about it, maybe this will help you out. I'll tell you the single best mod that I did to my Miata I'll even say it's better over tires, okay?
Not the steering wheel.
I will say the steering wheel.
So you can heel tail?
So for a plethora of reasons, probably I think I can name five. One, you can heel tail, okay? Two, I can actually fit in the car better. So it improves my driving position.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I feel more like direct with the car because it's a smaller diameter. So it requires more steering effort, but it's just.
Well, think about it. When you're on track, it's not like you're steering past, what, a quarter turn?
Yeah. Yeah, like when I had to make that counter steer to correct that one slide at the track, like I was grabbing onto the bottom of the D and trying to like straighten it out. Another thing was like the quick release that I have on it. It's just so nice in that Miata cockpit because the Miata is really small. If you just pop that off and just set that off to the side, it's pretty spacious. It's not too bad. And the fifth reason was that it actually got the wheel closer to me. And that was great because I didn't have to worry about, again, with fitment, I didn't have to worry about the wheel touching my legs at all.
Yeah.
Because most of my height's in my legs. So, it number one thing, I would if you give me a track day with a car that has oodles and oodles of power, I will pass it up over a car that I fit like a glove in. And it's just like, you're 100% comfortable, your position's wonderful, and you might not be fast.
Dan's smoking crack right now, because that is insane. I would definitely take the car with more power over a car that feels good.
So, if you have all that power and you can't, like, if you can't...
It's not your car, though. If it's my car, yeah, I'd want to fit like a glove.
Yeah.
But I'm going to burn somebody else's tires off.
That's what I'm saying. But if you are incapable of heel towing in a car, incapable of being comfortable and incapable of driving the car to its performance level that it has based on how you are positioned and sitting in the car, that is terrible in my mind.
All right. 53 minutes. Anything to add? Any comments about next week? Are you going home next week? You going back to Philly?
Yeah, I'm going back to Philly.
So maybe when are you going back?
Wednesday.
All right, so maybe we'll do something Monday or Tuesday. Anyway, that's behind the scenes. You got any thoughts for podcast next week?
So I think we hit on a few things that we talked about.
Maybe tech? Tacking cars.
Well, that's what we mentioned we were going to do last time, but then we had this event and it was fresh in our minds and we really wanted to talk about it. I think we have a few.
I want to do a segment of like the best $4,000, you know, out the door track car build or best budget car for like $10,000, like first best car.
I really want to talk about the. Not necessarily the history of performance, but I want to talk about the problems with where the...
America is now.
Where the performance car is at versus where it came from. So the one thing with Carroll Shelby and Shelby's in general, that's a big sore spot for me.
So bring your laptop next time. We will talk about... And I will attempt to chime in on this one. We will talk about how cars got worse over time. Tune in next week. All right, Dan.
See you guys next week. Adios.
Oh, follow Dan on Instagram. What's your Instagram? Which one are we using? JustinMX5.
JustinMX5 is probably the one with the most track content and build content that people would enjoy.
And then Divergent Goat for Mr. GTO Boy over here. So, guys, we will see you next week and have a wonderful, prosperous, beautiful, bountiful, luxurious week. See you guys next week.